Monday, 11 January 16, broadcast the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for tuning into the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry of the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker, and we want to welcome you to today's broadcast. Especially I'd like to welcome new stations that have come aboard with us. Thank you for the privilege to be broadcasting on your station, and we want you to know that it's our heart's desire that the Calvary Hour, the messages on the Calvary Hour will be a blessing to your hearts and lives. Let me also express our appreciation to those of you who have been carrying this broadcast for some time. For those of you just joining us, we're looking at the causes for captivity. We're understanding this, that God made it clear in His Word that the curse causeless does not come. A question was asked in Nehemiah, and Father, do bless us now with Thy Word. Speak to my heart and the hearts of all of our listeners. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Nehemiah said, Then contended I with the elders and said, Why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Now we see in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verses 1 through 18, the progressive apostasy of Israel, how she went from bad to worse until finally there was no hope. When Ezekiel was over in Babylon as a captive, God, the Holy Spirit, went and got him and brought him back to Jerusalem to show him why God had had to deliver them into captivity. Now, I don't know how that strikes you, but that's interesting to me, that God, who does not have to give an answer to anybody, He does not have to give an answer for anything that He does, and yet He would care enough about man that He would show them why they had to go into captivity. Now, there's more than one reason for this, I believe. Number one, certainly, it would answer the questions for the Jews in that day as to why they were in Babylon. But also, since God is the same and sin is the same, and according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all these things in the Old Testament have been written for our admonition. They're there to instruct us. They're there to teach us. Then we would be wise if we would learn what caused those people to go into captivity and avoid those things. So in Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 6 we read, He, that's God, said furthermore unto me, that's Ezekiel, son of man, seest thou what they do, even the great abominations that the house of Israel committeth here, that I should go far off from my sanctuary? But turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations. And God brings him, as we said, to Jerusalem, sets him down. First thing that Ezekiel sees is this idol, an abomination. Then the Spirit of God will take him on into the temple, and they'll go into the innermost part of the temple. And in each step, the Spirit of God will say to Ezekiel, I'm paraphrasing this, this is bad, but you're going to see something worse. This is bad, but you're going to see something worse. The way the Lord says it is simply, you'll see greater abominations than these. Now that has led us to Ezekiel chapter 22. And Ezekiel chapter 22 is where God is seeking for someone, seeking for a man, that will stand in the gap and build up the hedge that he might spare the land. And in that chapter, we have the condition that caused Israel to go into captivity. Let me read again from Ezekiel chapter 22 and beginning in verse 23. And then, Lord willing, we'll take up basically where we left off on our last broadcast. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening a prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes, in the midst thereof, are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity, saying, Thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy, yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. One of the statements that we've made so many times in this series is this. I personally believe that problems, corruption, and so forth usually come from the top down. It doesn't start with the grassroots. Oh, I know sometimes there's trouble that starts, shall we say, among the grassroots of the people. But the devil learned a long time ago that if he can poison the river upstream, eventually the whole stream will be poisoned. If the devil can poison the leadership, it won't be too long before the followership, for the most part, will be corrupted as well. This is why in the Lord's work you'll usually see seminaries that will fall first, and then you'll see the churches falling, and in the churches you'll see corrupt preachers come in to take a congregation, and it won't be long before they will have inculcated into the people of the church false doctrine, wrong doctrine. And it all started up yonder where seminary professors, and this is not a blanket condemnation of all seminary professors, but I'm saying if you want to knock out the churches down line, go to the top, go up to the head of the stream, poison the stream head, and eventually you will poison the whole stream. Now, this is why it's so important for us, as I tried to share with you on the last broadcast. Always bring your Bible with you to church. It's not that you are going to be suspicious of the preacher. It's not that you are in any way insulting him. You will know that what he's saying is what God says. I told you just recently, I would never do anything knowingly to corrupt anybody and lead them astray from the Word of God. I appreciate when people bring Bibles to churches. I want them to bring the Bible to church. By the way, let me say this. Nobody is too big or too powerful to become unaccountable. All of us have to be accountable. That's one of the great blessings in life. And the preacher is held accountable to his preaching by those who have the precious Word of God. Or it doesn't mean that you jump up in a service and you're going to challenge him and disrupt the service. But if there's something that you don't believe that's according to the Word of God, you should talk to him about it and let him explain it, or let him at least know where you're coming from. Hey, look, I've had people who have helped me I don't know how many times in life. They cared enough to help me. Sometimes it might be with a verse of Scripture that I get more enlightenment on. Many times it has been, or at least a number of times it has been, with my diction or with my English. I've got a long ways. You say, preacher, you haven't learned too much yet. And I'll agree with you about that. I remember having a dear, precious lady in our church. She visited our church many times along with a friend of hers. She was an author, and she really knew how to write. And if I would misuse a word, now she never was mean about it, and never was sarcastic, but she would let me know of where I was wrong. Thank God for that kind of help. Well, can you believe we're down to the end of our broadcast already for today? Please stay with us in this series if you can. We're going to make applications of all these great truths to the New Testament dispensation, and particular to our churches, our personal lives, and our day to day. Father, grant that we are able to understand thy word, to rightly divide it, and to powerfully preach it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May our Lord be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.